Hello, thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams, your radio host, and thank you so much for tuning in. We are going to continue our radio broadcast on judging. That seems to be a scripture that I think has been misused in several different ways. And it has really, and it has been taken out of context. So we're just going to go through that today in Matthew 7:1, where it talks about judge or you'll be judged. And we'll go in more depth of that. And we will break the scriptures down. And let's just take a few minutes to see what the Bible says. But before we do that, let's look at what is judging. First of all, it says that we know that, of course, if you've done something wrong in the law of the land, you are going to be judged for that. If you're speeding, you're going to be judged for that based on what? The limit you went over the laws that were set pertaining to the area that you were in, whether it's interstate, intrastate, rural road, pedestrian crosswalk, school zone, or it might just be within the local area of neighborhoods. There is a limit. There is a law. There is a speed limit that is set. Or if you shoot someone, or if you kill someone, if it's first degree murder, second degree, third degree, you will be judged based on the action of where you broke the law. If there's some type of, if there's an offense that you've made, maybe a sexual perversion, sexual offense. Maybe, you know, there's laws in the land, sodomy. You will, if you're caught, even as lewd molestation, you are judged by the judge in the natural aspect of it. So no matter what you've done that's been illegally, we're talking about the natural side of things, dealing with the laws of the land. There are ramifications that are involved in what you've done. You will go before a judge, and the judge will access the information and assess what you've done. And based on that, there is a penalty. There is a penalty of law. So we look even from that scripture, if the judge says, you can't tell the judge, judge me, and you'll be judged. No, you can't. You can't do that because the judge has been set up as a person who is to judge the matter so that we can have what? Peace and safety in our land. So if we look at the scriptures or at the scripture that says judging, you'll be not judged, and we'll go in more into that. But if you look at the definition of judging, it's a synonym, which is to what? Forming an opinion. So basically what the judge is doing is forming an opinion about the situation or the matter. That judge, secondly, he does what? He comes to a conclusion. And you're standing there before the judge and you have people praying that you will be acquitted. And that you won't have to go behind bars. You won't have to go to jail. That there's no penalty. But it decides a case within a court of law. So that is one of the definitions. Secondly, it gives a verdict on someone in a court of law. A judge pronounces, what does he do? He pronounces a decree. He says, I decree. He also pronounces a rule or a fine. They called it the findings. this is in a court of law. And so that is the definition of judging from the perspective of the natural laws of the land that we may have to experience or go through the courts if we are not obeying what we have been taught to do. Now, in Matthew, and let me turn over, let me get in my Bible here, and let's look at Matthew 7. And who is speaking here? Well, this is Jesus, and he's talking, and he's talking about what he's talking about, judging others. And Jesus is saying, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Okay, well, people take that there and stop and say, don't you say anything about anybody running that light. Don't you say anything about that lewd molestation. Don't you say anything about that sodomized. Don't you say anything about them stealing. Don't you say anything about them killing. Don't you say anything about them committing adultery, because you're going to be judged. Okay, let's look and go further. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? So Jesus is asking this. How can you say to your brothers, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. So what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is a person that is saying to someone else, don't do this. Don't do that. Don't you go out and speed and they're drag racing. Or don't you go out and you break that law of what the Bible calls sin, adultery, fornication, theft, stealing, you know, killing, and you're killing. So this is what God is. This is what Jesus, he is saying, hypocrite. Now, before, let's just look up the definition of hypocrite. It is someone who is doing the same thing that somebody else is doing, and they are doing it, but yet on the other hand, they're pretending that they're not doing it, and it becomes hypocrisy. And that's what Jesus is so upset, is a person. So here's the definition here. A person who pretends to have virtues and to have morals or religious belief, to have these principles that he or she does not actually possess. So that's what he's saying. You're judging somebody else, and look, you don't possess it. You don't do it. You don't have these virtues. You're not walking in what you're telling me I should be walking in. And the definition goes on to say, especially a person whose actions they are stating their beliefs. So basically what it is, it's a lie. It's lying. It's you're stating these beliefs and you're not doing it. And that's what Jesus is saying. But what has happened, it has gotten the church in a place of hypocrisy. Let's go ahead and look at another definition. A hypocrite, here is another definition out of the Collins Dictionary. If you accuse someone of being a hypocrite, you mean that you pretend to have overcome that particular situation or circumstance, or you pretend to have the qualities or beliefs or feelings that they do not really have. That is a hypocrite. It's actually the synonym of that is fraud. It's a deceiver. It's a a pretender. It's a charlatan. So we stop there. And so many people will say, when you're trying to bring about correction, and we're going to talk about that scripture later as well in Timothy, about how we are as ministers of the gospel, as children of God, as believers, we are to correct. But the church has gotten in fear because either, number one, they're doing the same thing and they're not really helping to pick the wool or to help to lead people in the right direction. Or on the other side of the coin, they're afraid that if they say anything about anybody doing wrong, that they're going to be judged too. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Now let's turn back to the scripture here in Matthew. It says, as we says, do not judge or you'll too will be judged. But if we look down, it says, because what did he say? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own, you hypocrite? So he's saying, really, first, go back. He's saying, come on, repent. He said, first, go back, clean yourself up. He said, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly. Because you can't to remove. And so God, so Jesus is not saying, don't judge, don't mention it. What he's saying here is that as you take care of yourself and you bring yourself into a state where you're not walking in hypocrisy, you're not a charlatan, you're not the great pretender to be living this life, but that when you draw close to him and you are living a repentant life, and maybe you make a mistake, but you're repentant, you're not walking along the same line and doing what they're doing. And he goes on later to even explain that. He says, then you will see clearly to be able to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So he's saying here, then you will be able to help your brother and to speak to them. This I always call people in the body of Christ that are mature, and I believe perfection means walking into an era of maturity, but I also call them healed healers. God is looking for people who have been hurt or walking in an area of life that they need to overcome, and now they're healed in that area so God can heal. Or there's someone that is mature in the body, that is an elder or that's repentant and living a holy life, that can go and what? Disciple. I believe a part of picking the wool, a part of judging or looking or say, hey, don't you go over the speed limit. Don't you kill. Don't you steal. Hey, what do you tell your child? 13. Don't you go in that store and steal no candy. If you steal any candy, there's going to be what? Repercussions. You're going to judge that situation. If there's a 2-year-old that's always running around and running out in the street, you're going to correct that child because you don't want that child to get hurt. The same way it is in the body of Christ. We have to judge the situation or we have to judge the matter. If we have some girl in our church, in our churches that is sleeping with several men, you want to pull her, you want to talk to her. She can't say, well, you're judging me. No, I had to sleep with who I want. No, you're trying to bring her into the laws, the spiritual laws and aspects of the kingdom, the king's domain, the kingdom of God. So he's saying, go ahead. Let's get that out of your eye so that you can help other people. He says, do not give dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they will trample on them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So, and in the scripture, he goes on to talk about that you are actually doing the same thing as the other person. And you actually can be turned over to a point of reprobation. And reprobation is what? Where you're doing wrong and you continue to do wrong, but you think you're doing right. So that's what the scripture is saying. But I want to get to the scripture that talks about how we are to correct and rebuke. Because there's this, oh, you're to love. Oh, this is the body of Christ. And we can't point out any wrongs to anybody and say anything about them. But there is a point that I know that the Lord is saying, and before we go into Timothy, we have to, basically the point he's bringing here, we have to judge ourselves. And that's what he's saying. And we have to judge what? Our own actions. We have to really look at the heart and our heart and see if that if we are in right standing. But just not make our words to be a law to everybody. So let's look at it. Look at it from that perspective. And we don't have to judge, rashly or try to pass judgment upon our brothers without any ground. But we have to make sure that there is a just reproof to those that we and to our brethren that we are trying to be able to touch their lives, to see them change, to see them grow. Because there's no sin that's too little, and there's no sin that's too big. We have to be able to look at and to be able to assess the situation from that perspective and be able to speak into people's lives and not let them go on. Because we can get even deeper into this, and we probably want today, but there are so many scriptures that talks about if we do not judge our brothers and sisters and correct them, their blood will be on our hands. That's what the word of God says. So let's go ahead and look at, I want to look at Timothy here, and we can look at the scripture about rebuking. You know, I know when I grew up in the church, that was one of the scriptures all the time that we used to look at was in 2 Timothy, where it talks about to rebuke and to correct and even to reprove. So let's look at 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. That 2 Timothy 4 and 2. It tells us that we are to what? To correct, to rebuke, and to encourage. And he tells us too that we're to preach the word. He's talking here about preaching the word in season, out of season, and that we are to be ready, that we are to be prepared. But if you look at the word here, even we look at rebuke, do you know that in the rebuking is also, it's a shaper, it's a severe word. And that God is using, and it's part of judging. So here he's telling the preacher to rebuke. It means to judge the situation, to talk about the things that God talks about, that he loves, and to hate the things that God hates. And even in the rebuke in the word of God, he's rebuking the devil. But here it's telling the preacher to be ready in season, out of season, to correct, to rebuke, but yes, to encourage. But everything now is encourage. I heard a preacher say last week, we were listening to a tape. He said he was invited to this huge church. And they said, when you come to our church, we don't talk about anything rebuking or any sin. Everything is positive. But if people don't know, it's not that every day you have to hammer. But you do have to correct. You have to bring correction. You have to rebuke. And yes, you have to encourage. And so here, he talks about to reprove it. And I believe that reproving is not merely those earrings in doctrine, but generally those who are blameworthy, those people that need to be reproved. But Jesus, he rebuked the devil. And to rebuke is frequently occurs in the gospel. It's even used by St. Jude in his report of the words that addressed to St. Michael to the devil. The Lord rebuke thee. It frequently occurs in the Bible. So, you know, how we can come about, we rebuke offenders. We see the use of the word in Matthew where they have their rendered charge. And as I said, in Jude 1 and 9 in the New Testament, the word is used to express the judgment of what is wrong. Jude 1 and 9, what is contrary to God's one's will. And hence, it's to admonish or reprove. And I believe what we need more in the body of Christ, everything's a balance. You don't just always, you know, at your church, you're constantly bringing out and bringing out the whip. You know, sometimes when I minister, I cry over people. Sometimes I'll just whelm up and God will have me cry and weep over people at the altar. And sometimes it might be that stern rebuke. And sometimes it might be where God is having that person, you know, where they have to be reproved. But the word, I believe that it implies our conviction that there's something evil or some fault in that person who is rebuked. That's just it. We were out yesterday and someone came, you know, and charged us and start talking and we dealt with them in love. But I was like, God, do you want this person rebuked and you want the demon cast out of you? But sometimes it may come to that situation where God moves in different ways. He even told Peter, you know, get behind me, Satan, because he was coming against him. He rebuked Peter because Peter didn't want him to die. And Jesus was saying, look, I am going to fulfill my purpose. I rebuke you, saying, you know, get behind me. Or your children. Sometimes you need to just be able to rebuke them. I was looking today at a study where it talked about being the alpha parent. You know how you have dogs in a pack. There's always an alpha dog. But some of your kids, they can be alpha kids. A lady here in Breckpan, she was saying that she had to take a police officer to a little lady weighed 110 pounds because her teenage son was pinning her up against the wall saying, mama, look, you gonna do what I say, 19 years old, and you gonna give me money. Of course, he was on drugs. And so she brought the pastor, has a police officer, to the lady's house. And the police officer was there. And the pastor said, look, you're going to stop treating your mother like that and pinning her up against the wall. And he said to her, who do you think you are? And he said, well, this is the police officer from our church and he's a member and he took him and pinned him up against the wall. So that was a strong rebuke. And she was telling me in Star, this was like, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, that son has not come against his mom again. So you're dealing with spirits. So whether it's correcting, rebuking within the body of Christ, but the scriptures that a lot of people in the world, and this is what got me stirred to teach this, because some people in the world that are living in a sin and in their lifestyle, and I've heard numerous people, even the homosexual lifestyle, say, don't you judge me. or you'll be judged because they want to continue to commit sodomy, or if it's man and man or woman, but the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, God said, people who are committing sodomy and homosexual acts have no part of the kingdom of God. It's not that we're judging you because you're an adulterer or you're a homosexual. It's because God wants to see you according to the scripture here, 2 Timothy 4 and 2. It says to preach the gospel in season, to preach it out of season. And he's saying to correct, to rebuke, and to encourage. So it's all encompassing. So I believe that to express a judgment of what is wrong or contrary to one's will, or hence to admonish or to reprove, it's implying our conviction that there's something evil, there's something at fault in that person who is being rebuked. And the word in this verse is rendered reprove. It does not imply this, but basically merely that one may be in error. You may be in error and need to have, you know, arguments presented to convince him or to convince you of the truth of the gospel. So I'm encouraging the body of Christ. You have to say something. if you are the mature saint, if you're walking in perfection, perfection means mature. If you are an elder, or if you have to be able to, just like the judge that we opened up with, what does it mean? If you're speeding and going 100 miles an hour, you're going to pay a ticket. If you're stealing, you're a teenager or an adult, you're going to go to jail. You're going to go before the judge to be assessed because there's something wrong with what you've done. But the old saying, if you have one finger pointed, you have four coming back. But what does Jesus say? He says, make sure that you've taken the beam out of your eye so you can be able to see to what? Help your brother. So it's not that we don't say anything. And the enemy has used this scripture to take out of context. Well, I'm going to wrap up. I only have 3 minutes to go. And we will continue this because it's so important that we have an understanding of what God is saying. So I believe that as you go forth, that the word is implying, it implies that you, no superior authority in him who does it. And even as you're presenting, if you want to call it your points or whatever it is you sing in your brother and sister, the word here, it's rendered rebuke. It implies authority or superiority. It means merely that we may have that a thing is wrong in a person's life. We've all been there. We've all repented. But even as an elder, you still walk in the authority. You still walk in the superiority. But we're not superior to say that we're better than you. No, what we're saying is we love you. We want to preach in season. We want to preach the word out of season. We want to correct. We want to rebuke. And we want to encourage and walk in the blessings of God and see you walk in the blessings. So as we go forth over this next week, remember, there's a brother, there's a sister that needs your love. They may need you. I remember a girl, she was saying, and she was just the sweetest girl. She said, nobody at this church picks my wool. And I'm like, pick your wool? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? She said, nobody's really fathering me. Mm-hmm. There's many teachers, but there's not fathers. There's not people who will speak in your life and say, look, God isn't pleased with this. God doesn't want you to walk that way. And if you love somebody, even in Proverbs, it says, if you love your child, you will correct them. If you love the brother and sister in church, you will be there to correct. So as you go forth this week, just remember that God says to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And so And exhortation is not only is he to remember, you know, casually to watch over the flock and to reprove and rebuke, but remember there's even diligence to speak those comfortable words of encouragement and hope to all, especially those of the household of faith. So go forth and remember to do this with long suffering. Someone needs you to speak into their lives and to be that mother or father. So until next time, remember the scripture, judge and you'll be judged. But the word of God says, make sure you're not doing the same thing. So success to you, success to the kingdom of God. And go and pick somebody's wool today. They may not even know that they're doing wrong. They may need just a little reminder. In Jesus' name, amen.